We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I guess I'm the Scotty A part. Welcome back to WWL's NBA draft schedule. Scott Alexander here with you, along with Jeff Nowak. The Pelicans just made their pick recently, the number 17 pick. Trey Murphy III. If you don't follow college basketball, you might not know who he is, but he is a perfect complement right now for this team. And a guy, by the way, besides being a 43.5% three-point shooter this past season, shot 93% from the free throw line. And if anybody watched the NBA, you know, playoffs and some of the teams that did very well did well at the free throw line. I remember Phoenix had some games where they maybe missed one. I know at one point the Suns in one of their games early on in the finals, I think they hit 25 in a row. That's important. And you know, obviously Giannis had his struggles during the playoffs and he hit 17 of 18 until that last miss in the deciding game when he scored 50. It all matters. So hopefully this guy Trey Murphy will be a player that's, you know, eventually going to be a big piece in this team. I imagine he's going to be a compliment early on, but I'd said going into this draft and really into free agency that I didn't just want to add a shooter that's a rookie. I wanted to add free agent shooter too. I mean, you don't want to have to rely on a rookie just to knock your long balls down. I mean, this is a game that, as well as you shoot in college, it's going to take an adjustment. The line's a little bit different. The defense is certainly a lot different. And I'd like to see them bring in a long-range shooter that also is a free agent. I don't have any doubt that they probably will do that to help get the spacing for Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. I'm along with Jeff Nowak, the digital sports producer for WWL and Odyssey. Does a fabulous job. He's writing stories as we go along. We really haven't had a lot of time to converse because we've had two guests. I want to thank both of them, Jake Madison and Bob Rathman. But, Jeff, now you've had a little time to reflect right here and seeing what the Pels may do. And I know I don't want to kill you with the same question, but when you look at this team as a whole, and I asked Bob Rathman this, and it sounded like he said we might need to blow some things up. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to keep this nucleus together, at least as far as I know. What are your thoughts?
On the nucleus or on blowing things up?
Let's go with both. All right, start with the nucleus.
No, I mean, I think, you know, Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram are not going anywhere. Those are the cornerstones of the franchise that you're trying to build a title contender around, right? The other pieces, those are more question marks. You know, guys like Nikhil Alexander Walker, Jackson Hayes, who obviously has some legal issues that he has to deal with first. Those are the pieces that you look at and you say, okay, do you bring Josh Hart back? Do you bring Lonzo Ball back? I put more of a premium on Josh Hart than Lonzo Ball just because you put the ball in Zion's hands so often that does it make sense to have a point guard that needs the ball in his hands to impact the game? One of the reasons I really like adding Trey Murphy is he doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands to impact the game, and that makes it much easier to incorporate a player like that into the offense as a supplemental piece that can develop and become a more impact player down the road, but he's still useful in year one. I think the Celtics got a very similar player in, I am blanking on his name, Vanderbilt, Aaron Nesmith, very similar type player. He's a knockdown shooter, but he can defend. He's long. He doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to impact the game, so he can impact games much earlier in his career. And I think that's an excellent thing for them to have. But, yeah, I don't think they're blowing anything up. They blew up what they were going to blow up, which is about $32 million in cap space.
Yeah, I mean, that was encouraging to me. I mean, obviously you had to give a little bit to get rid of a player, addition by subtraction, when they got rid of Eric Bledsoe. I'm not going to put all the blame on him, although it did look like there was some times.
You can put a good amount of blame on
him. I really wanted to, but I don't want to do that publicly. But, yeah, see, there were some times that I saw some effort and attitude issues that I just was like a little bit in awe and shock of. I mean, more shock than awe, obviously. But my point here is when you look at what they have here, you got a ton of money tied in, obviously, to Brandon Ingram. You got almost $30 million next season. And then you got rid of the $17 million that you were going to have to pay Adams and $18 the following year. And Bledsoe, ridiculously, was about to make the same amounts. So getting rid of that, that's the reason. And I don't think the pick that they would have gotten, let's just say with the Grizzlies, who they got at 10 with Zaire Williams, is a whole lot different than the pick that the Pelicans got at 17. So even though you moved down, I don't think the players are all that different.
Right. This is how I put it on Twitter just now, which is basically, you know, the Pelicans traded down to 17. If they had stayed pat at 10 and picked Trey Murphy, I would have still said, yeah, I like the pick. And I think that's pretty telling about the value they were able to get at 17 while also clearing that space and getting Jonas Valanciunas, which I see Jonas as an upgrade. I really like Steven Adams as a defender, but he just doesn't fit the what the Pelicans need in that offense with Zion Williamson. So, yeah, I mean, I think, again, every offseason, he's really good in the offseason. He's really good at creating moves and finding value. The end product just hasn't been there. And that's, you know, partially on him. It's partially on, you know, guys like J.J. Redick not fulfilling the expectations for a veteran shooter who comes into year two and, you know, shoots 28% from three-point range. I think it's hard. I say this every offseason. It's hard to look at and not like the situation the Pelicans are in because they have, despite losing two franchise cornerstones, set themselves up for success. They set themselves up similarly to the Suns did, to what the Suns did, which is something Willie Green said. He compared this team to where the Suns were when he got there. And it's just like you kind of just wait for the dam to burst and everything to kind of come through and this team to fulfill the expectations. It just hasn't happened. But I think it can. I'm happy with this pick for the Pelicans, for sure.
I've known J.J. Redick. It's an interesting story here because since he was a sophomore in high school, he was on a great AAU team with a bunch of guys that some ended up in the NBA. At least four of them did, I can say that. But we had a show. He was on a show that was one of the best I've ever had back in Atlanta. This was like the superstar guys that were either going to go to college or go straight to the NBA. Back then, you could do that out of high school. And this particular show had Amari Stoudemire, who was a senior. He flown in. He had just done a workout with the Phoenix Suns. We had J.J. Redick, who was going to go to Duke the following year. And we had LeBron James, who was a junior in high school, all on the same show. It was a wrap-up show that we had. Usually we'd have one of those kind of stars every week. We did a 20-week series for football and basketball each, 20 for each sport. And this wrap-up shows, we usually had three superstars or future superstars, and those were the three. But I remember having J.J., he actually even stayed at the house, and I recruited him as when I became an agent a couple years later. So I sat down with his parents many times on the second, third row in Cameron Indoor. And I've gotten to know him well over the years. I've lost touch more recently in the last, say, 8 to 10, but I've known him since 2001. But the fact that I'm going to tell you this, when I saw his body language at that press conference, which you may have been at, J.J., I don't know if it might have been a Zoom. I guess it could have been with the going on, but when he was talking about Van Gundy and he was being sarcastic about it, because I know for a fact, because I had one of his teammates as one of my players, Shavlik Randolph, when he was with the 76ers, and he obviously was his teammate and the same year coming to Duke. And Shavlik would call and talk about JJ when he was playing with the Magic when Stan Van Gundy was coaching, and he's like, he's miserable. Like, he can't get off the bench. He absolutely hates being there. So when JJ, and having that knowledge in the back of my head, when JJ was talking, cynically about Stan Van Gundy, and he's like, oh, goody, you know, he's like being sarcastic about, I get to, end my career with the same guy I started with. That wasn't roses and balloons flying through the air. He was obviously a little perturbed, and you could tell that his demeanor in year two, and I know he had some injuries to go along with it, was much different than that first year he came when Zion was a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't want to be here. It was very clear that he was ready to go, and I think he had an expectation that the front office was going to buy him out. I think that was pretty clear, and that didn't happen, right? But everyone says, okay, the NBA is a business. The NBA is a business. If you can't expect, I don't know what you expect as a veteran player. I think it's part of it is the ease with which a player like James Harden was able to just talk himself off the Rockets. It feels like every veteran who wants to win a ring should be able to say, I don't want to be here anymore, buy me out. But it's not how it's supposed to be. And it's frustrating for small markets to get big timed by a guy who you made the best offer and he accepted it. Hopefully the Pelicans can get past that and start to bring in guys who want
to
be here.
Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Cap. Let's see. Is that your name or are you part of the salary cap? What's going on, Cap? Are you captain?
Oh, it's St. Capricorn. How you doing, Scotty?
St. Capricorn. Oh, my goodness. Hey, let me say this. St. Capricorn, when I first came back to New Orleans, I had never been in radio. And you were probably, if not the very first caller I ever had in 2012. I did radio for 3 years, 12, 13, and 14, after being an agent. And I remember you were a regular caller, and I haven't heard from you in years and years. How have you been, man?
Oh, man, I disappeared off the map for a long time, but I'm actually just moving my family from Seattle back into Mississippi. So
good for you.
I heard WWL was on, and I heard you were on, and I said, man, I got to call Scotty.
I had
two questions for you guys tonight, man, and I'll take your comments off air because I know I could go all night. But one, how does that Jackson Hayes incident affect the Pelicans' approach to the next couple picks? And two, I know the guy we just picked up, you've talked highly of him about his shooting, about being a good wingman, but what does he do for the defense, man? Because it was hard watching Pelicans basketball last year because it just seemed like we had a lead and then we blew it. When we were shooting, we blew it. So I just glad to hear you on WWL, Scotty, and I'll be talking to you real soon, man.
Man, it's great to hear your voice. Let me say this. That is one of the more knowledgeable Saints fans I've ever heard, and he was one of the first that said that Bounty Gate year was going to go exactly like it did after probably one of the greatest runs in Saints history, certainly one of the greatest. It was the greatest at their time when they had those three straight great years, and all of a sudden the bottom kind of fell out. Not completely. They were 7-9. But as far as the Pelicans, I'm going to start the second thing when he was talking about, maybe it was the first thing you said about the defense of the rookie that was picked. He is a 3-and-D guy. I know that term is overused. If for those that are casual fans, 3-and-D means he's a guy that can knock the three down and is also a very good defender, better than adequate. Usually you like to be kind of a lockdown. He's not a flashy defensive player, not going to put up a ton of the numbers you may see, the block shots and the steals, but he's certainly very capable. And he's a guy that can lock down on you from the perimeter. And he's got that nice range. He's got that great wingspan. And I know that's certainly one of the reasons, besides the shooting the three, that they probably picked him over a couple of the other options.
Right, and like we mentioned before, you know, Tony Bennett wants defense. You know, he recruits defenders. I guess he's a transfer from Rice. But, you know, so that's a positive thing. He's coming from a system that preaches defense, and they want to win the game 41 to 40. Like, they're okay with that. It sucks to watch, but it's great for Virginia. And so I think that's a good thing. You're getting someone out of a system that understands how to play defense because, you know, you can have all the measurables in the world. If you don't understand how to play NBA defense, you're not going to do it well. I mean, Brandon Ingram should be a good defender. He just can't seem to work out that side of the ball. These guys are similar. They have a similar build. I think Murphy's a little stockier, but he still has some weight he's going to need to put on to be a reliable NBA defender. But I think that he is a guy who, you know, one of the reasons you want to bring in a wing, and I keep saying the word wing, is because you want a guy who can, you know, be on the ball and stretch the defense and work around the court, get in switches and not be an immediate mismatch. And that's what they will be getting in Murphy that they just haven't had when you've had to have a guy like Josh Hart go out there and be undersized and guard, you know, a power forward when he gets switched onto him and just get bullied. You know, that's a big part of why you need versatile wings. And the Pelicans just haven't had that. So hopefully this lets them be a little more versatile on the defensive end, which will help. Getting to the Jackson Hayes point, I think that is a good point in terms of, you know, what might the Pelicans do with these next three picks. As you saw last year, they were in a similar situation. You know, they made two picks. I think they took Elijah Hughes out of Syracuse. They took Nick Richards out of Kentucky. Both guys were on a different roster before you could even decide whether you like the pick or not. Maybe that's not the case this year. I think you have to at least operate from a position of, we don't know what Jackson Hayes' availability might be. You know, there's a lot that's going to come out in terms of, you know, what exactly the circumstances were. Is Jackson going to face criminal charges? I think it depends on what the circumstances are regarding that. But one way or another, you have to go forward with the assumption that he could very well miss time. You could see a suspension. You know, it could be more serious than that. And so you probably do have to make one of these picks thinking about your interior depth. You added Jonas Valanciunas, which is going to go a long way toward that. But you don't want to be in a situation where your only reliable front court player is Willy Hernan Gomez, as much as folks might like him. That's just not a situation you want to be in.
Yeah, you don't have to rely on him. I mean, he's a good.
I like Willie.
No, I do
like
too.
Willie.
You don't have to rely on him as one of your starters. And right. Who knows, Jackson Hayes? I mean, he hasn't been a starter yet, but I've saw enough potential in him to really get excited for his future. In fact, I produced his first big game ever. It was in
summer
Vegas.
League? Yep.
No, it wasn't summer league. It was in Vegas when he was a. It was a tournament with Michigan State, Texas, UCLA,
college.
North
okay.
Carolina, and he was a freshman. And we had a bunch of games, and I had two football games due that weekend too. And I just remember, you learn as much as you can about the starters, and they didn't really mention this kid that was a pogo stick coming off the bench, and he blew up. And that was his first big kind of outing. It was national TV on Fox, and he did amazing. And I was kind of, when the Pelicans did take him, I was happily surprised. I didn't know that that's the route they were looking, but I was very excited about it. And I think his future is bright, and hopefully he'll clear up any of these legal issues. So, and by the way, don't make judgments before you hear all the facts, because we don't know anything yet. We just know a little bit about a police report. Hey, we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk more about this entire draft. Who are our favorite picks so far? Who are the ones maybe we're scratching our heads about? I don't know. We're going to chat about that, maybe break down the Pelicans roster. Talk about the head coach, Willie Green. We haven't really talked about him much yet either, so I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to be coming right back with more coverage of the Pelicans and this NBA draft. I'm Scott Alexander with Jeff Nohack right here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to WWL's NBA Draft Special. We haven't done one of these in a bit, and I'm excited about the rest of the way. We have 90 more minutes. Looking forward to getting your calls right here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, 504-260-1870. I'm Scott Alexander, along with Jeff Nowak, WWL and Odyssey's digital sports producer. Jeff, before we go more into the Pelicans, how about the Saints today? What did you see today from Saints camp? Obviously, New Orleans is a big Saints town, and today was the first day of practice.
Saw a lot of really strong dudes in shorts.
Yeah, they're big, aren't they?
They're big dudes. Yeah. It is always an interesting thing, because you spend so much time seeing these guys play in pads, and you know, when, but until you see them play football without gear on, you don't realize how massive a lot of these guys really are. Andrus Peat, huge human being. Like, even when he's standing next to other linemen, you're just like, that guy is a giant. Peyton Turner, another massive human being, but that I hadn't seen in person until today. You know, Paulson Adebo, another big guy. I'm pretty sure that those two draft picks have suddenly become the tallest players at each of their respective positions. So if that was the one of the evaluating metrics of the Saints, they hit it. Because they got a couple tall dudes over there. And I say that jokingly, but that's also, you know, a valuable trait at both of those positions, length and strength. So
absolutely. Yeah. What is your take on what's going on in the offseason? I mean, it seems like every day brings more bad news. We all know what happened to Marshawn Lattimore. You know, obviously, David Onyemata, Michael Thomas. It just continues to go further and further. I mean, what do you think?
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
It really does.
Well, I'll tell you that Sean Payton, when he talked to the media on Wednesday, it's been a while since I've seen Sean that visibly kind of frustrated, not after a loss, if that makes sense. You know, I think any coach, when you're coming off of like a playoff loss or a bad loss, it's going to be a little terse. And in his press conference, you don't see that a lot just on a random Wednesday, but you know, I think the as frustrating as it seems for, you know, fans kind of observing, it's probably exponentially more frustrating for the guy in charge of trying to win football games this year without his franchise quarterback he's been with for the last 14. But you know, I'm still on the bandwagon of, you know, culture is far more important than any individual player in the NFL. It's more important in the NFL than any other sport, just because of the number of players and the complexity of the schemes and, you know, how many individual efforts go into one larger winning effort, that I still do believe that the Saints are going to find a way. I really honestly do believe that, because they've just shown the ability to do it independently of Drew Brees being the quarterback. They've gone 8-1 with quarterbacks not named Drew Brees starting games over the last 2 years. You don't do that by accident. So I think that there's still don't lose hope yet, Saints fans. I think they'll find a way.
I have been an advocate, of the pickup of Jameis Winston since it happened. I was able to do a lot of games with the Bucs, because after I do games with Tim Brando during the fall for college, we usually got 3 or 4 NFL games right after that in December. And we usually got the worst one, because he's number two college guy, but he's the last guy. So we would have Tampa Bay. Seemed like every year we'd have one game. And when you do a game, you go in and you talk to the coaches, the offense coordinator, defense coordinator, head coach, and usually about 2 or 3 of the players in each team. And Jameis was usually one of the guys in there. And I can say the growth from the first year I was doing games with him to the last year has been exponential. Just in him and his character, you can just see a difference in a human being. And I'm not saying that's going to always play over, on the football field, but I just saw something that I liked. I mean, just because he did have that year where he threw the 30 interceptions, but he also, people all want to harp on that, and that's not good. In fact, he threw a pick six to lose that game in overtime, the game in Green Bay that we did that particular day. But the fact is, he did throw 30 touchdowns as well and threw for 5,000 yards, and I know some of those are hollow yards. But I like the possibility of a guy being able to go deep again. And I like the fact that he was going to be on the same team with Drew Brees and obviously have Sean Payton as his mentor. So going forward, I have more optimism than maybe most. And I was hoping Michael Thomas could be part of this vertical attack. I'm not so sure what's going to happen now. But until Sean Payton, he proves me wrong, I'm going to have to go on his side. Now, I have seen Sean Payton. My very first year was Bounty Gate, so I didn't get to see him that training camp, but that's when I moved back here. I don't know. I'll get to you when you moved here, because I'm very curious about that. But the second year, they had a year. They went to the playoffs, won the playoff game against the Eagles, second round, and lost to Seattle. And then they had the 3-7-9s, and I was in West Virginia for those training camps. And the fact is I saw a very terse Peyton back then. It was something weird at the end of that last 3-7-9 season when he came back for the early January press conference. And I'll never forget, he's wearing a light blue kind of pullover zip-up thing. And his demeanor just looked different. I mean, it looked because there was rumors he was going to the, I don't know, Giants, Cowboys, whoever it might be, seemed like he was in the rumor. And then he just seemed rejuvenated for whatever reason. And it was just a few days off of his last loss. And sure enough, since that point, the Saints have had the very best record in the NFL during the regular season for the past 4 years, one ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs. And so it's been a nice run. So to see him terse again over something he obviously wasn't fully expecting with the Michael Thomas situation, I'm glad it wasn't coach speak. I'm glad he let his emotions out there. And it was a topic of conversation. What are your thoughts on all that I just said?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I think that Sean is the type of guy who likes to keep things very close to the vest, especially when it comes to injuries. And but he wants the players to show the same level of commitment, I think. And I just don't think it's been a difficult offseason in that regard. You know, there's been just a lot of avoidable situations, I think, that have gone the wrong way. You know, there's always going to be negative things that happen throughout the course of any season for any sports team, right? But there are things you can control and there are things you can't control. And I think that Sean gets frustrated when the things that you can control are not controlled the right way. You know, you see what happened with Deontay Harris. He was arrested earlier in July for alleged drunk driving. You know, he's probably going to see some sort of penalty from the NFL. You know, David Onyemata, we don't know exactly what he tested positive for. It was most likely a supplement that had a banned substance in it that he was unaware of. You know, suspended 6 games. Michael Thomas, there's a lot of details we don't know, but the surgery he was supposed to have earlier in the offseason, they tried to treat it conservatively, as Mickey Loomis put it, and it did not work. He went to minicamp. Ankle still wasn't right. They had surgery after that, which just objectively is not a timeline that makes any sense whatsoever if you're a guy who wants to play football in September, which is likely not going to be the case now. So, like, that's – you add these things up and, yeah, I mean, any coach should be raring to go. But the fact that he's able to – I'm impressed that he's able to keep it as locked down as he has, because, you know, I think if he had if he didn't have the camera running, he would have a few other choice words to throw out.
Well, the Deontay Harris one I didn't mention. I mean, that punt returner, he's a weapon, and that is a starter to me. He's a starter. Every person you've mentioned – and I mentioned they're starters. Right. I mean, these are guys that are counted on. You lost your two top DLs, defensive tackles, I should say. And then, you know, Onyemata was playing well and playing often, particularly with Rankin's injury. So he showed he was an NFL guy that could be a starter and not just a regular plug-in player. And now he's out for 6 games. And obviously Thomas, I mean, one of the superstars of his position, out. Lattimore, ditto, superstar of his position, out, although he didn't have the greatest year last year.
Lattimore's not out.
Not yet, but maybe not at all.
I don't. I think if you were going to see a suspension for Lattimore, you would have seen it right by now. Mickey said the other day that he didn't. He hasn't heard anything from the NFL, yay or nay. Which, you know,
that's
not
good
a
news.
Bad thing,
right?
So you know, hopefully the Saints can avoid that, but you never know. I do think we should get back to the other disappointing thing, which is the. Recent Pelican season.
Well, that's what I was going to do.
This is an NBA draft special.
Well, that's why I was going to break right now. I'm going to go to break, and I was going to get back to that because there is another hour and 20 minutes, and I know we're going to have plenty to talk about because the Pelicans do pick 10 more picks from now. The Clippers are on the clock right now with the 25th pick. The Pelicans, as of now, have the 35th pick. They also have a couple more in there, the 43rd pick and the 51st pick. But I know this is a New Orleans town, and I know Saints talk is always good in between. Yeah. So, hey, we're going to be right back. Don't forget – We're going to have more coverage of this Pelicans and the NBA draft. We're going to talk more about the entire draft. I know I teased that last time, but I got on a tangent with the Saints stuff. And we're also going to get into maybe plug and play with this team and the salary cap. And what do they have? And what can they possibly look at in free agency? We've already mentioned a couple names, but I haven't really gone deep like I'd like to. So if you have any questions about free agency, how many dollars the Pelicans might have to spend, don't hesitate to call our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking test line, 504-260-1870. I'm Scott Alexander with Jeff Nowak. We'll be right back. All right. Hey, we're back talking Pelicans and NBA draft on WWL. I'm Scott Alexander with Jeff Nowak on WWL, AMFM, and .com, and the Odyssey app. Jump in the game with us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. You know the number, 504-260-1870. I do have to see a couple on the text line real quick, and I might as well just jump in. Let's just see. If another team makes Lonzo's offer and Pels don't match it, do Pels get compensated like in the NFL?
They do not.
They do not is the answer. I did know that answer just from being the
just quizzing
agent
me.
Business.
But
just
I'm testing me.
Throwing it out there to Jeff Nowak, who knows a lot. Also, we've already talked about the Jackson Hayes thing, and also we talked about – I got three questions on Jackson Hayes. Okay. We've kind of talked about that a little bit already. Let's look at this draft right now. I know we've been talking during a lot of it, but so far what you've seen out of the corner of your eye and who's been picked, are there any guys that stand out that you're like, wow, that's a really good pick. I think I love that pick. And are there any out there that you might be putting that Jeff Nowak right arm up to your head and scratching it?
I won't take the easy way out and say Book Knight because I've already talked about him.
Well, tell people why. Some people listen now. Book Knight's a UConn guy. You're a UConn fan.
He's really good.
And he's very good.
We could talk about something. I've already talked about him. I'm going to cut a corner here and say I really like the Magic's draft. I think when you're a rebuilding team and you can essentially just reload your backcourt after essentially what turned into a fire sale midway through the season with Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner, like two guys who have size, athleticism, can shoot, and just, you know, you're just giving your team, your rebuilding team, a new identity, you know, in a span of four picks, because they picked at five and then again at eight. I really like those two picks.
I love those picks, and I'm full agreement with you. Jalen Suggs is a guy I thought could have gone as high as two, talent-wise. I mean, I think he's that good. But when you look at, you know, there's a lot of teams out here that have done things. Obviously, OKC had a bunch of picks. They seem to be stockpiling picks every year these days. They traded with Houston, and I want you to go into your analysis on that deal because Houston got Jalen Green early on with the number two pick. Jalen Green, if you don't know, is one of the guys that skipped college. He went to play in the G League for Ignite, along with the seventh pick of the draft, Kuminga, Jonathan Kuminga, who went to the Golden State Warriors, and he's a totally different player. But when you look at Houston, who had to rebuild, who was conference finals just a couple seasons ago, I'm not positive exact the year, but COVID's always thrown me off on that. But the bottom line is they're rebuilding completely from scratch. What do you think that they've done? Because they moved up to get the pick right before the Pelicans as well, in addition to Green. They had that trade, and they got Alperen Sengun, who I love, by the way. He's a guy from Turkey. 18, he was a Turkish player of the year. Let me, before you say anything about Turkish league, I as an agent, I did go to Turkey and didn't know much about their basketball. I was thinking it was not going to be great. It's great. It's much better than I thought. And this kid was so good that he got offered a professional contract at the age of 12. So I don't know what you know about Sengun. I know you know a lot about Green, but with the Rockets moving forward, what do you think they're trying to do?
I mean, I think the Rockets are trying to find their identity. You know, I think Christian Wood is a really good player. The Pelicans probably would wish they kept him around. But I
agree. I remember the end of that season. I was like, this guy is like growing up in front of our eyes.
He's a really good basketball player.
Right.
I mean, it's just a fact. He's a really good basketball player. With him, it was more about off the court stuff. You know, there are stories about, you know, just maturity and all that. And I understand why a team would cut bait if it just didn't seem worth it. But man, you got to kick yourself when that goes the other way. And like Hassan Whiteside was another example of a player who should, by all accounts, have been an excellent player, and just couldn't get it right. And then you know, it seemed like he figured it out, and then he kind of just ebbs and flows. But you know, the Rockets, I think, are in a good position to kind of restart. I do feel bad for I'm blanking on the coach's name.
Oh, are you talking about Bickerstaff? No, it's Silas. No, Silas.
Yeah,
Silas.
Yes. Paul Silas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His son.
You got to feel bad for Paul Silas. Is it Paul?
It's his son.
It's
Paul's the dad. Yeah.
Yeah. What is his name? Steven?
I was gonna say James Silas, but that's a player that used to play back with. I think it might be Steven. James Silas used to play back with San Antonio
Steven.
Back in the day.
It's Steven. You got to feel bad for Steven Silas because he didn't sign on for this.
No.
You know, he signed on to coach a team that had a identity. And that identity was James Harden and whatever James Harden wanted. And then James Harden wanted that to not be the case anymore.
And he started dogging his coach, you know, and that is never a good situation.
Right, right. Thankfully, and you know, I'm glad the Rockets just didn't just cut bait on Steven Silas because it wasn't, you know, he got put in a difficult situation. I think he handled it as well as he could have. But, yeah, I mean, I think Sengun, you know, 6'10 out of Turkey, I can't say I've watched him play a lot, but I do think that the right move is to be aggressive in the situation the Rockets are in. You picked up a lot of assets. You want to make sure you cash those in when you can. And, you know, they went up and got their guy. Some of the comps I see, Domantas Sabonis, you know, just a big, talented guy. He can score in a lot of different ways. He's a good passer. And, you know, I think that's always a good place to start.
You mentioned comparable, since we didn't get there yet, about the pick that the Pelicans did take, obviously, in Trey Murphy. You mentioned Mikal Bridges from Phoenix. Obviously, he's a starter on that Phoenix team that got to the finals. He was a starter on that national championship team with Villanova. You know, that great game against North Carolina with the game-winning shot. He didn't make that, but on that team. What are your thoughts as far as, you know, that comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to go too deep into, oh, this guy is like this guy, because it's so easy to do, and it kind of, you kind of miss the forest for the trees a lot of the time. But I do see it. It's a guy who has really good length, a good shot, can get up high in the air, block shots, challenge.
Shoots free throws the same way.
Shoots free throws.
I mean, I would tell you, Bridges didn't miss it in the playoffs.
Right, and you know, they both guys kind of use that length to shoot the ball a little more athletically than, you know, just kind of slingshotting it up there like you'll see a lot of big guys do. So I can see it's a good comparison. I don't know if they're going to develop the same way, but just in terms of the type of player that you're getting, like the style of player, I see that as a really good comparison. And it's the type of play the Pelicans haven't had. So, you know, maybe they can get them over the top from being 41-41 every year.
Hey, let's get back. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the free agency. The Pelicans are now only 8 picks away from that next pick, unless they trade it. That's the 35th pick of the fifth pick of the second round, I should say, but that's going to be coming up real soon. So, hey, we're going to be coming right back with more coverage of the Pelicans and NBA draft. Jeff Nowak with me. I'm Scott Alexander right here on WWL. We'll be right back. We're back talking Pelicans and NBA draft on WBL, but we're going to change quick gear. We're going to do free agent stuff next hour, because just now the LSU Tiger, Cameron Thomas, was just picked by the Brooklyn Nets. You never know if that's sticking with the same team, but man, how fun will it be for Cam Thomas if he actually does stay with the Nets to get to play with James Harden, and more in particular, guys like Kyrie Irving who can dish, and Kevin Durant as well. Congratulations to the former LSU star, all SEC, all freshman. The guy can put the ball in the hoop. He averaged 23 points a game. Only 5 true freshmen have done that in the last, I think, 15, 20 years, whatever that's been. And they're all superstar NBA players now.
Yeah, I mean, the dude can flat out score. Like, he's a scorer through and through. And, you know, we were just talking. He has a pretty cool story. They're playing it on the broadcast now. You should check it out if not, if you haven't seen it. But he's an interesting guy, because I think at 6'3 as a shooting guard, he wouldn't fit around the NBA. He wouldn't fit every team, but the team he makes a heck of a lot of sense on is the Nets, a team that just needs someone who can score in those depth roles around their superstars, someone who can knock down a wide open shot and just hurt you if you ignore him. And that's what Cam Thomas is. He's a scorer. And I don't think there's a team that it'll be easier to be a scorer on than the Nets. You saw what Bruce Brown was able to do. He just stood in the middle of the paint and made floaters for the entire playoffs. Like, he's never there might never have been a player that got more easier shots than Bruce Brown this season.
I agree. I mean, I was just thinking about that, and you know, they weren't even healthy their entire playoffs. You have Joe Harris. I mean, if you have a certain number of people on that court, they can all fill it up. They're not going to guard you, and you're going to have an opportunity to come in some garbage time or maybe even some meaningful time, who knows, and get some buckets if he does stay with that team. It's fun to speculate because I was impressed with what I saw from him. And you're right. As a guy that three, that's kind of the small end of a shooting guard. I mean, we're seeing a lot of 6'9 point guards in this draft. Heck, I mean, talking about Cade Cunningham and people like that have some size, but the bottom line, you can play basketball. I remember Marcus Thornton was a guy that was an undersized scorer.
Another
LSU guy that, you know, and I've had guys like that, you know, Anthony Roberson, when I was an agent, he led the SEC in scoring his only 2 years in the league. And, you know, because he was 6 foot, he had to play point guard, but, you know, the guy could score, but he was just undersized. We're going to come back. We're coming up towards the end of the hour, I guess, in about a minute, but before we do that, we're going to talk about next hour. I do want to get into speculation about who the Pelicans might be looking at if they do keep these picks, which I told you earlier, they're 35, 43, and 51. You know, it's hard for second rounders to make the league, but there is a lot of examples out there of great players that were picked in the second round. They ended up being very good NBA players. Chris Middleton comes to mind right now out of Texas A&M. I know he spent some time in the D/G leagues. I guess it was just D League back then, before kind of bouncing a bit. You know, he was Detroit, and obviously that's where he was drafted, but Milwaukee is the team.
There's a three-time NBA champion that was picked at number 35 in the last decade. Try to name him when we come back.
Three-time NBA champion that was picked in the last decade?
Yes.
Oh, I'll get that in a second. All I'll just do is think about it.
At number 35 specifically.
I know, but I won't have to look at it.
It's not that hard of a trivia question, but we'll get it.
Three times though, right?
I could be wrong, but yes.
All right, we're coming back. I'm Scott Alexander. That's Jeff Nowak. We got one more hour of WWL's Draft Special. Stay tuned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.